This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. Of course, you're listening to us here on Steelers Nation Radio, but you can always listen to us anytime. You can download our shows where you get all of your podcasts at. It's free. You can subscribe to the podcast today, and it downloads to your phone automatically.
Yeah, it's great.
Listen to us wherever you want.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Put it in your car and while you're out running, mowing your lawn.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be from 4 to 6 every day, but we love when you listen live as well.
We like that as well. You have a chance to take part in a special edition of Steelers Nation Unite Huddle with Alan Faneca on Thursday. That's at noon. It's live. It's an interactive call in which you can participate in for free. Just visit Steelers.com or the Steelers official mobile app for more information on how to take part in the huddle. That's Thursday at noon. That's
and congrats to Mr. Faneca.
Yeah, congratulations to Alan Faneca. I had a pretty good feeling about that one.
You've been kind of calling that since the last get-together.
Yeah. And I knew that Bill Nunn was, you know, he was going to get in because the contributors usually do. Faneca was a little more, you know, there was some diciness there, but I had a pretty good feeling about it given, you know, what I'd heard in last year's Hall of Fame voter meeting. Really feel good for both of those guys, their families.
Very well deserving.
Yeah, I think it's on February 11th, which I guess would also be, was that Thursday, I think.
Okay.
NFL Network's going to run a special on the Hall of Fame knock.
Really?
Okay. They're going to have a special showing all the reactions of those guys when David Baker came out.
A little different this year, I imagine.
A little bit different. He had to go to their houses and they set Peyton Manning up at the Bronco Mile High Stadium.
Really?
They had him thinking that he was going there to tape one of his
many
Peyton's place,
whatever. Okay.
And you know, all of a sudden, there's David Baker there instead.
Oh, that's awesome.
And you know, they did that with Charles Woodson as well. They had Woodson set up to do it. It looked like he thought he was going to be doing an interview, and next thing you know, here comes
David Baker
comes walking out to let him know. And
I'll look forward to that. So.
Yeah. Faneca said he didn't know. They called ahead to tell his wife because they had to let somebody, hey, make sure you're home.
Yeah, right. You can't be knocking on the door.
So she was able to call some of the family members who were close by that they could get there. And
I mean, you could make up something like, hey, we're having pizza tonight.
Yeah. But they were hiding in the backyard, apparently.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah.
Nice.
So when the knock came on the door, Alan went to the door, and he happened to look out and saw the boom mic. Saw a piece of the boom mic outside the door, and he goes, what's this? And opens up the door, and there's David Baker standing there. So
you also need to make sure he's not, like, in boxers in a torn-up T-shirt.
Right.
Like,
which is
kind of
what that happened with Calvin Johnson. We talked to him yesterday as well, and, you know, he was in, you know, T-shirts and shorts, of course, living in Michigan.
Yeah, but
they're not allowed to go in the house because of NFL rules.
I assumed, right.
So he had to come outside in his shorts and T-shirt to
But yeah, good group. I mean, congrats to Faneca. Congrats to Nunn and his family. I mean, they're very well deserving, in my opinion. I think it's a little overdue for Faneca, but I get it. I mean, I didn't think he was massively snubbed. It's a tough fraternity to get into.
It is, and it just goes to show you, you know, typically if you make the finalist list, that final 15, the semifinalists, you're probably going to get in at some point. History shows.
If you're there several times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's you know, it's not
a
given.
It's a puzzle to put together sometimes.
It really isn't, because you look at, like, even this year's class, there's three guys who were first-time finalists.
That was Woodson, Calvin, Peyton.
Right.
Yeah.
That, you know, I think everybody looked at Woodson and Manning.
Yeah,
those guys are obviously
like Troy last year, right?
Yeah, the tough one, though, was Johnson, you know, just because of the longevity issues.
There was at least an argument against him.
Right.
The other guys would be
like making it, you know, hey, maybe you'll make this guy wait a couple of years. Obviously, he's probably a Hall of Famer, but there's some other guys who have been sitting, you know, Torrey Holt doesn't get in, or, you know, some guys
Reggie
like
Wayne was late. I'm just thinking of other receivers.
Yeah.
I think Calvin over those guys all day and twice on Sundays, but I understand the logic, you know. And Faneca last year, can we put another Steeler in? Can we put another guard in? I'm sure that didn't help his case too, but it's great that he's in. I still don't understand Lynch, to be honest with you, but oh well. Yeah. I'm not going to complain about it too much.
Yeah. I feel like I had a little bit to do with getting Faneca in this year, and I should send a note to Mike Sando for that as well, because he was the one who brought up last year when I was in the meeting, I think Hutchinson had like 8 holding calls in his career.
Oh, yeah, this is great, yeah.
And I'm like, boy, I wish I would have had that stat for Faneca. I don't know what it, I didn't know what it was at the time.
Right.
But I wish I would have had that stat to know, you know, hey, just for, by comparison's sakes, Faneca had this many. And so I had Bert Lauten looked it up for me, and it was four in his entire career.
Age,
yeah,
which they were bragging
because everybody was all, "Oh, hey, he only had 8 holding penalties in his entire
10
career.
10 years or 12 years or whatever." That sounds pretty darn good, and it is.
Yeah,
but 4's better.
4's better. Yeah. But you know, I've heard that number thrown around a lot. Well, a big reason why if you have 4 holding penalties in 12, I'm like,
yeah, right.
So
you kind of learned your lesson as a first time presenter.
Yeah,
you know, heard someone else go, "I should have had that." And you corrected it and you helped him out.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So it may have given him the edge over Tony Boselli, to be
quite
frank.
Maybe,
yeah.
Who knows?
Because that was, you know, I mean, both of those guys are deserving.
Yeah. Boselli is hard to keep out. I mean, no question about it. I thought he had a good shot this year.
Yeah. But didn't make it. Maybe next year for him. But certainly a strong class. And man, August 5th through the 9th. In Canton is going to be a heck of a weekend.
Bring your terrible towels.
We talked to Art Rooney II yesterday, and he said the Steelers may have to get the biggest tent in the state of Ohio to have a party up there. 5 members of the Steelers going into the Hall of Fame this summer, and the Steelers, of course, playing in the Hall of Fame game as well.
Donnie Schell, Troy Polamalu,
and Bill
Cowher,
yeah.
too, right,
also,
left over from last
year. Yeah. So that's going to be, I mean, you're going to be talking about 28 people going into the Hall of Fame next summer.
5 of them are Steelers.
And 5 of them are Steelers. I think that puts them at 32 members of the franchise that are.
Is that second or third-ish, something like
somewhere
that?
Somewhere in there, yeah.
And I think the Bears are first.
The Bears have a bunch of guys from
way back when.
Yeah.
Right.
But, I mean, you figure there's only like 350, a little bit more than 350 people in the entire Hall of Fame, and almost 10% are Steelers.
10% are Steelers. I mean, I guess Joe Green probably went in 88-ish.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
I mean, if you start from that point on, nobody's put him out at a higher percentage.
It's been a pretty steady march.
Right.
And that's why
more to come, maybe,
I think it's going to be a while before the Steelers get another one. I think Probably Ben will be the next one. I know people will push for Hines Ward and potentially James Harrison will become eligible here, but
I think it's an uphill climb for both of those guys.
When you look at Ward's numbers compared to some of the other guys who are there waiting now, they kind of pale in comparison.
Sure,
I know people look. Well, he was the best blocking wide receiver in the league. That's fine, but there's no statistic for that.
There isn't.
You know.
I mean, I've heard people, really intelligent people, talk about Ward versus AB versus Stallworth versus Swan, and I'm not sure I can fight them saying I'd rather play against those three than Hines Ward. You know, just ask the Ravens how much you hate playing against Hines Ward. But I've never been on the Ward for Hall of Fame vote. I mean, and it's not just numbers. I don't think he was ever as dominant as any of those three or played the wide receiver position better than them. I mean, I know he did the little things. That's great, but I'd rather guard you running routes than AB.
Yeah, to me, it's really. I mean, he was largely a possession wide receiver, and those guys have a tough time getting in.
They do.
You know, you could say, well, Larry Fitzgerald's a possession wide receiver, but he also.
The body of work's insane.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, it's just nuts.
One of the best in the league.
You know, Anquan Bol- is Anquan Boldin a Hall of Famer?
No. I mean, you got to be pretty special. Chris Carter, Larry Fitzgerald. There's not many that are Steve Largent. You know what I mean? Ahead of their time. You know?
And when Largent retired, he was
first
held all the records.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So easy one.
You know, and that's part of it, too. The game has changed over the last, I don't know.
Oh, especially for the passing game and receivers and all that good stuff, without question. It's going to be harder and harder for someone of anything close to Ward's resume to get in. And you're right. I think Ben's probably the next guy.
Yeah, I think so, because Harrison, to me, you know, he was dominant for about a 5-year stretch,
There was also a lot of good edge guys in that era.
That's the problem. I mean, he was, you know, NFL Defensive Player of the Year is certainly a check mark in his corner.
Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl play that he made is, to me, the greatest defensive play in Super Bowl history.
I
have a tough time arguing that. But then you look at his body of work and you say, okay, but what was the first 4 or 5 years of his career?
Doesn't help.
He's a special teams player. The last 4 or 5 years of his career, he's, you know, a part-time player.
Yeah. I mean, I think of guys from that era that he's going to fight against, Julius Peppers, Dwight Freeney. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of them.
It's kind of the Joey Porter thing. Like, Joey Porter finished with 99 sacks in his career. If he had gotten to 100,
it looks better.
Then you get a little bit more of an argument.
Sure. I mean, you're on that list of X amount with 100 sacks got in, and you're one of the few that didn't.
Right.
It actually kind of reminds me of Flores getting in this year, too. He was one of the only coaches that had 2 Super Bowls until now that didn't get in.
Right.
And there are some milestones, but I don't see Porter or Harrison on the same level career-wise as Peppers and Jason Taylor and, you know, those type of dudes.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, Harrison finished with, you know, I think 88 career sacks or something like that. Had he started, you know, earlier in his, you know, instead of starting in 2007 as his first year as a starter, you know, if it's 2005 or 2004 when he was on the team, maybe then he's, you know, he finished 110 sacks or something like that. Then you'd say, okay, this guy, you know, 3 Super Bowls that he played in, won 2.
Defensive MVP.
And then you're making that kind of argument.
Right.
But,
yeah. Again, it's just not a long enough stretch of dominance. But it was a dominant stretch.
It was a very dominant stretch. I mean, you could make the argument that until T.J. Watt has come along, those couple of years with James Harrison were maybe the best individual seasons of any edge rusher in Steelers history.
Including LC and Dwight White and, you know, 4-3 types. I think it were. I mean, Greg Lloyd was a dominant player, Kevin Green. You know, there's a long list, obviously, but Harrison's peak might be the best.
Yeah, I mean, because he took the ball away too. I mean, seasons where he's getting 8 to 10 strip sacks.
Speaking of Watt, didn't go so well for him over the weekend.
It did not, and I, you know, I understand the anguish that the people in Pittsburgh are feeling over this, Steeler fans in particular. But it's six one way, half dozen the other.
I did have a problem with it. I would have voted for Watt. I probably was a little biased. It's not like Donald is exactly hated around here either. He's got a little bit of hometown feel, and I think he's the best defensive player in the league and by a wide margin right now.
The numbers favored Watt.
The numbers are better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All around.
I don't know who I'd rather play against. Probably Watt, to be honest with you. I think Donald's more of a home wrecker, but the numbers are strong for Watt. I mean, again, this was a coin flip.
Yeah.
And he lost the coin flip.
Yeah, so that's the way it goes. And, you know, he's moved up. You know, 2 years ago he finished third. This year he finished second.
Yeah, right.
Maybe next year he gets first,
Especially like Pro Bowls for guards.
And maybe he saved the Steelers a little bit of money there, too.
Right. Well, you didn't win Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, it's not like you're Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, right. We're glad you gave you this contract, TJ, but you didn't quite win it.
Anyways, we should take a break. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
You're tuned to The Drive on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, Steelers Nation Radio.
We are back, Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Matt, while watching the Super Bowl last night, of course, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers pretty much dominated the Kansas City Chiefs,
sure did.
That version of the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And I put on, I had a little thing going on DKPittsburghSports.com, a little kind of a live chat kind of thing going on during the game. And I said, this is why. That game showed why the Steelers would have had a chance, just a chance, to beat the Chiefs had they played.
I'm sure you're talking about the defense.
The pass rush.
Yeah, right.
The pass rush. And people immediately, oh, the Steelers would have had no chance to do it. I'm like,
a chance.
I just said a chance.
You're not predicting they win or hold them to zero touchdowns.
No such thing.
Right. Right.
But it gives you, that pass rush gives you a chance to win against any team.
Yeah. Part of me really enjoyed seeing that because, frankly, I was wrong, like many. I mean, I thought...
I mean, we talked about the potential that could be a home-wrecking kind of situation, but we thought that Mahomes would handle the pressure better than he did.
I thought Reed would handle the pressure better. I thought more than any team in the league, they could make up for, you know, replacement-level offensive line against a way, way better defensive front. And I may have underestimated the Bucs front, too, by the way. Like... they've been playing out of their mind.
Well, they got since they got Vea back,
it's really been helpful too. And you know, I think a week off helps guys like Sue and Pierre Paul that have logged a lot of snaps as well. But part of me, I mean, just to bring it back to the Steelers, watching that game made me think Steelers. And part of me, I'm not on this train yet, but part of me just thinks Steelers need to take an offensive lineman around one, period, end of sentence. You know what I mean? And that's why I liked the part that I liked about the game was the trenches won out more than anything. There's coaching, there's execution, you can blame penalties or whatever you want to do, but there's no denying the team that with the best trench play dominated that game, and that's the biggest reason why.
Yeah, and the Chiefs made a lot of mistakes.
They did.
Silly mistakes, yeah.
And yeah, penalties and things early, yeah.
But there were some takeaways there. To me, I thought that Tampa Bay's play at inside linebacker was also
huge,
a huge factor. Yep. And they have not everybody focused on Devin White.
Of course,
he's not their best player on the inside.
It's not really even close.
No, I mean, it's not.
David's a great player.
Yeah, Lavonte David. They have two of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have two of those cover linebackers on the inside, you're playing essentially the same kind of style of defense that the Steelers play.
Oh, sure.
You know,
right.
Pierre Paul and what's his face?
And Shaq Barrett.
Shaq Barrett. They're outside linebackers.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. They're not much different. Right.
So you got those cover linebackers on the inside, and it closes down so much stuff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they were obviously very well coached in that they didn't fall for a lot of the pre-snap stuff or get out of position early. The Chiefs, I thought, would screen them to death to slow down the pass rush. And they did a little early and didn't have much success.
Because of the speed of those linebackers,
right. They were ready for it, and they got a lot of hats to the ball. You know, there's an old scouting adage that if you're slow at middle linebacker, you got a slow defense. Well, if you have two fast dudes on the second
you're really fast on defense.
Really fast.
Because what the Chiefs' plan, once they saw that, was, okay, if they're going to double Tyreek and they're going to double Kelce, well, we're going to put these guys here, and we're just going to send somebody out to the flat after they clear out the space there.
Sure.
And they were trying to do that, and they would dump the ball off. They couldn't get anything. Yeah,
right.
You get a 3-yard gain out of it. Well, that's not going to get going to get you there.
And they had a lot of disadvantages, including not helping their helping their tackles and protection and whatnot. I mean, they had a lot of issues.
It was jailbreak every snap.
He was under an immense amount of pressure.
And it wasn't just him. It was when people were talking, well, the Steelers should have kept Stephon Wisniewski. Did you watch him play last night?
I was going to say that too.
He stunk too.
He was as bad as anybody. I mean, they were all replacement level offensive linemen.
Stunk.
Trying to block Pro Bowl.
There's not one offensive lineman on the Chiefs last night that would play for the Steelers.
No.
They were awful. No,
yeah, you're absolutely right. That kind of reminded me, you don't see many pairings like David and White right now. Like, I go back to, like, Bowman and Willis. I mean, but that's a while ago.
That's
a long time
ago.
Right.
Somebody asked me on my live cues today, well, I know you've said that the Steelers need to draft an offensive players on the first day of the draft or even the first 2 days of the draft. But what defensive position would you look at? I said, well, if there's a special inside linebacker there to pair with Bush, because –
you have that then.
Then you got that.
Right.
And if one of them gets hurt, well, you still got one of them.
You still got one, and you can scheme around that. And, yeah. And it's funny, since we got together Friday, I've seen two or three mock drafts, including Bucky Brooks, of guys I trust. I mean, there's a lot of mock drafts out there, and half of them I don't even click on. But some of the people that I know are
I do for laughs,
and,
you know.
Yeah, right. People that are, and two of the three that I saw recently had them either taken Xavier, the dude from Tulsa,
yeah,
or the dude from Missouri, that are both there's going in that neighborhood of where the Steelers pick, and it's an abundance of riches, in my opinion, considering the other needs.
I think you have other needs that override that. But you can find, nice. You can get, you don't have to use the 10th overall pick. Well, I mean, if you want, you've got Bush. You've
they
got
needed
your,
to do that.
You've got, but, your, right. you've got your guy. But you can find a guy in those middle rounds, third, fourth, fifth mm-hmm. round, who can run.
Who can really run.
Which is, I mean, that's what they were trying to get in Ulysses Gilbert. Like, if he
sure,
hits.
Sure.
You know, if he hits, now you got two fast guys and, you know, fast mm-hmm. athletic guys and inside linebacker.
But they could use a fifth round pick on a fast inside linebacker for the next 3 years. And if you hit on one of them,
now
it's
you
cold.
Got something, yeah.
And meanwhile, the other ones are good special teamers. And,
right.
And
yeah.
It's not like they're junk.
Yeah. So, I mean, that to me is, I think, something that you look at. You know, if you can do that.
That showed up there for
yeah.
sure.
Especially
and on the other end,
in a division where you have to play Lamar Jackson, you know,
right,
and things
right,
like
right,
that.
Right.
Where these guys, okay, they can run him down.
No question. And on the other side, it's a big weakness for the Chiefs, too. You
yeah.
know, like, they're not real good in coverage. They had a hard time against Fournette and Gronk and Brate, and they've had trouble every step of the way. And yeah, there's a lot of things to talk about with last night's game. But part of it, I think, is interesting, which might be more and more Steeler-related along those lines, is just team building, too. I mean, they're very differently constructed. I had a good conversation earlier today or late last night about, what about Edwards-Helaire? You know, and I think you got to look back and say, that was a luxury you couldn't afford.
Yeah.
And we kind of said that when they picked him.
Yeah.
And then the other thing about that pick, too, I think is really telling from last night is he stinks in protection.
Oh, he's awful.
It was terrible at LSU.
The first pressure that they gave up, I noted it on Twitter. I'm like, he ran right by Shaq Barrett on his way to, it's Pierre Paul.
Okay.
He just runs by him as Pierre Paul's coming in unblocked.
Yeah.
Like, at least get a shoulder into him and slow it down.
Like, you and I like Dobbins better than him, and maybe others. He was not our top back. And when they took him...
Because of that.
Yeah. I mean, when they took him, I thought, wow, that's a luxury. But, okay, I mean, it's a high-flying offense. You add another weapon. But I immediately said, but he's not good in protection, and he's not good in short yardage. And maybe you gave the Chiefs too much credit just saying, well, they're not going to ask him to protect. Well, they don't. They want five guys in a route. But sometimes... Part of me almost thought, I know Lev Bell's basically shot, but he was active. At least he'd protect and help your tackles.
Right,
you know, they had no options to help their tackles because
their
backs
just,
aren't good at it.
Yeah, it was just...
Kelsey's not going to do it.
It was a free-for-all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who was going to get to the quarterback first? One other thing that I noted while I was watching the game is Tampa Bay used their running backs.
Yes.
You know, not just to run the football. They ran the ball effectively. Which
won at the line of scrimmage
which,
as well.
Which you could do
right.
against Kansas City.
They had a lead. Right.
But they also used them, again, against Kansas City's linebackers.
Yep.
Get those guys out of the backfield and get, you know, Fournette 3 yards downfield with a head of steam, and you're going to get 12, 15 yards out of it.
It's huge.
Every time.
No question. And Ronald Jones is a terrible receiver.
Yeah.
And they threw to him once or twice, and that doesn't usually work. Fournette's not even great. He's gotten better. And he has some nice reception totals in his career. I think his last year in Jacksonville, not this year, the last year he caught 50 or 60 balls. But they're not special routes. You know, it's just getting him past the line of scrimmage with the ball in his hands.
And ahead of steam.
And an easy throw, slows down the rush, you know. It's free yardage.
That to me, I mean, again, it goes back to why I think the Steelers need to draft a running back in the first two rounds of this draft. They need a special back. It doesn't have to be, again, Fournette, it doesn't have to be the third pick in the draft like Fournette was.
And he still isn't worth that. And people are like, they should have picked up Fournette. That's a different story.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. But he needs to be able to do more than, he needs to offer something in the passing game, whoever this guy is. Without
then running. You can have your receivers run deeper routes. You don't have to have everybody running the short stuff because your running back is running this. That's what made Le'Veon Bell so effective because he was running those you know, 8 yard routes, those 6 yard. You know, now you could in that situation, okay, Juju, you go ahead and run a 15 yard out here or something like that, as opposed to being the guy running those intermediate routes.
Yep, the stats nerds will tell you the most efficient play in football is throwing to a running back on first and 10.
I mean, it's 5 yards,
it's
easy,
five or 6 yards every time.
Yeah.
I mean, then the rest of the drive's downhill. You know, I mean, then you can take a shot or you can pound it or. Second and six is great, you know, and it's not a hard thing to execute. That's what I mean by efficient. It's not a high variance play. It doesn't have to be a super schemed up situation. I mean, I used to coach my kid in flag football, And one of our staple plays was everybody run deep, and our little running back just kind of hang around here. And if the quarterback gets in trouble, dump it to him, yeah. and he'll pick up 10, you know?
Yep.
And they were 8-year-olds. And it's really not that different.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, that just drove that home that, man, they need a back.
They do.
Because even when Jones broke the line of scrimmage.
But he was a good runner, at least.
Right.
The burst was there.
The burst was there.
Right, right, right.
They don't have anybody with that burst McFarland has that burst.
He doesn't know what he's doing yet, though.
But he doesn't know what he's doing.
Right, right, right.
Snell doesn't have the burst.
And he never will.
And he never, yeah, it's not gonna, you're not going to get that burst. Connor doesn't have that burst. I mean, they got to break a tackle to get through something like that, or have a hole in the line that is, you know, you can drive a car through.
Yeah. I also like seeing, just talking schematics and stuff, something I didn't see coming, because when I previewed that game a lot, I said, boy, I expect a lot of 12 personnel from the Bucs, and the Chiefs will come out in nickel, and the Chiefs will say, run it all day long. You can't keep up with Pat and score 35. Well, I was slightly right in that they ran it with heavy personnel, and I was very wrong that they needed 35 to win because the Chiefs didn't score a touchdown. But then I loved seeing – and he's not a great player, and he dropped the touchdown. But the extra offensive lineman coming in there with Gronk was like – it didn't mean they couldn't throw with Haig, a tackle, and Gronk, a great blocker, and a big back like Fournette. You still have a lot of dangerous dudes on the field. But the Chiefs had no match for that. They don't want to play base. You know, you made them play base with two bad linebackers on the field as opposed to Thornhill and Mathau and all those guys running around. And they had no answer for that at all.
Yeah, so I think, you know, when people ask, you know, what lessons can the Steelers take out of that game? Mm-hmm. I think there's some things that you look at and you say, okay, they could. These are fixable things. These are things that you can do. You can get a better running back. You can get another cover inside linebacker.
I mean, they got the front already, the defensive front. They have the young secondary too. The Bucs played their best game. The Chiefs played their worst game too.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, let's not forget that. A huge thing, though, I took away from that game, too, which isn't going to sound positive, but in a Steeler light, is, and this gives Brady a lot of credit, and I always talk about that Week 13 bye for Tampa, that their play-action numbers basically doubled from Week 13 on. And I don't know this for a fact, but I would bet every dollar I owned, Brady went into Leftwich's and Arian's office during that break and said, we need to get back doing things I'm more comfortable with. The Patriots are always the top of the league in play-action. Last night, they play-actioned the heck out of him. All three of his touchdowns came off play-action. They averaged like 12 yards per play off play-action. And the Steelers are always at the bottom of the league in that.
Well, I think that's going to change this year.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. You know, like, I know that's not Ben's deal, but I've gotten to the point now where it's got to be your deal.
I think it wasn't Ben's deal because it wasn't, first of all, Arian's deal.
True. Oh, that's he built, case in point. Yeah. Pre-week 13, it was not Arian's deal.
And then it wasn't necessarily Haley's deal because Ben had become set in his ways.
Sure, probably sure. It's an old dog, new trick thing, right.
And so now you go to him and say, hey, look, this is
the way of the future. And we can't be the bottom league anymore.
If you have a threat at the running back position, it helps that so much.
It all helps too, right.
I mean, you can't be, you know, people want to wax poetically about even the Munchak days.
Mm-hmm.
Even then, the Steelers were like 26th in the league running the football in 2018. They were not a strong running team.
Sure.
So they've got to get better there.
You
can't have the 32nd paid running back room and have no talent there.
And expect them to be middle of the road in production. No, you've gotten away with that at wide receiver and you've excelled at it, but
you got away with it quite frankly when you had Le'Veon Bell on his rookie contract.
Yes. Absolutely.
You know,
you found a special player there. And how much different was the offense then? I mean, I'm not sure Ben's much different now than then.
Right.
But that position is.
Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt about it. Yeah. And, you know, people say, well, why haven't the Steelers won? You know, they haven't paired up that offense and defense. You know, in 2015, they had a great offense.
Mm-hmm.
And the defense was, quite frankly, lacking.
Yeah, right, right, right.
You know, they had Kansas City's defense.
Makes it awful. It's a hard thing to do in this league. You use that many first-round picks in a row on defense. Or how many times – I mean, we talked about this before Tom Brady was ever a Buck. I mean – last year, the Bucs' defense was like third in defensive DVOA, but like 28th in points allowed.
Because 40 turnovers.
Because the quarterback turned the ball over 40 times. So they hit that great peak where the offense got better and better and better as the season went on. The defense had a little bit of a lull, but then peaked at the right time. And a lot of it's great drafting. Like, yes, adding Brady's wonderful, and side guys like AB and Fournette and Gronk. But for the most part, they're pretty homegrown.
They drafted their defense. They added a couple of pieces.
Winfield and Wirfs were huge. But their guys on first contracts are very, very valuable to them.
Yeah. Their problem is they don't have a long-term plan. They don't have a long-term plan of quarterback.
No, right.
So at some point, Brady's going to get old or retire.
You would think.
I wanted to talk about that next.
Okay.
I did a little research yesterday over the last three drafts and said, what does it cost to move up and get a quarterback?
That is a really interesting conversation.
And
quick note, too, you're picking 32nd. You're not going to get Mac Jones.
Right.
There's not going to be one this year either. That's going to be next year's project for them.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, let's take a look at that when we come back. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio.
You're tuned to The Drive on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Matt, over the weekend I reported that this week the Steelers will meet with Ben Roethlisberger and his representative, Ryan Tallner. They'll start trying to figure out how to get that cap hit down. On Friday we saw Drew Brees make a deal.
Interesting move. I didn't quite understand it. I think you dug into it more than I did because he's going to retire.
Essentially, yeah. What they do is they put on a couple avoidable years at the end of the deal, so they can so they can then stretch out that signing bonus money over the next 2 years.
Okay.
And they don't have to. Well, actually, really in the next year, so they don't have to take the entire hit this year.
Okay. Even though they know he's not going to play.
Right.
I mean, he hasn't officially announced it, but this is setting up for retirement.
Yes.
But you had texted me over the weekend, and I don't mean to steal your thunder, that the Steelers could do something similar without Ben retiring, though, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
You just you extend him in the next year and maybe even beyond that, and you get to, you can then – because the more years
more
you put on that,
yeah,
it gives you more – it allows you to take a lower cap hit on the bonus money, which, you know, the Steelers, if Ben has to be amenable to this, but you can get that number down to around $28 million real easily by doing that.
As opposed to what, 41?
41.25.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
and he doesn't lose any money in the deal, and it's just a different way of structuring it, huh?
So why not?
Why not? Right, exactly.
You know, people complaining about, well, you know, they should just cut him and take the $22 million cap it. Okay, would you rather have Ben Roethlisberger at an additional $6 million?
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound better to you? Or would you just cut him and not have him?
And not have
but
him
you still have
him.
You still have 20. He still counts $22 million against your cap.
And a quarterback need.
And now you've opened up a need for a quarterback where you're probably going to have to go sign a guy who's going to.
I mean, I even bring up guys like Brissett and Winston. They're going to be 10 plus.
Right.
I mean, that's a cheap option.
Yeah.
You know, Dalton or, you know, I mean, I'm aiming low here.
Yeah.
You know? Or if you're going to trade for Darnold, I mean, that's a first round pick then, too. Like all those things we talked about, boy. Steelers can use a back and a linebacker, and well, you're not getting it.
Yeah.
And you're putting an unproven, talented guy back there.
Which to me is why I think the Steelers should wait until next year to make that move for a quarterback.
Me too.
I think you have some definite needs going into this year because of the cap situation.
Yes.
That you need to take care of. Your offensive line, the running back position, maybe an inside linebacker,
mm-hmm,
potentially, you know, a tight end you're going to need.
There's
needs there.
There's plenty of needs.
If you go out and trade a bunch of picks to get a quarterback, which is what you'd have to do, and we're going to run through some of what that cost is here, it doesn't allow you to build around the young quarterback.
That's what
You should have your foundation in place before you make that move.
I always call it building a nest.
Yeah.
You know, it's like bringing your first kid home from the hospital. You have to have the nursery all ready. You better have diapers. You better have a nice, clean, you know, beautiful room for them and a crib. And first-time parents forget half that stuff, you know. Just like Washington bringing in Haskins. I mean, they didn't have the nest ready for the baby bird.
Or Sam Darnold.
Well, there's $100 million.
Yeah,
I'm not sure Cincinnati does.
We'll go through some of these here. So The first one that comes to mind, because he was just traded last week.
Okay. Just Goff. Huh?
The Rams traded up to get to the number one pick to get Jared Goff.
And remember, this is Jeff Fisher's team doing this.
In 2016.
Yep.
So they traded with the Tennessee Titans, who had the number one overall pick. Just a few of the players that they traded to go get Jared Goff. Here's what they traded. They sent their 2016 first-round pick, two second-round picks that year, and a third-round pick. And they also sent their first and second-round picks in 2017.
Yes.
So they traded five picks.
Premium picks. They're not premium fifth and sixth-rounders, right.
Tennessee sent back their first-round pick, a fourth-round pick, and a sixth-round pick that same
year.
That
aren't premium.
That are just kind of throw.
Yeah, yeah, we'll make the deal.
So some of the players that were drafted with those picks that Tennessee got back, Jack Conklin.
Making a lot of money for Cleveland right now and had great years in Tennessee.
Derrick Henry.
He ain't so bad. He just won the award over the weekend.
Yeah, yeah, he just won Offensive Player of the Year. Corey Davis.
Yeah, been very good for them.
Yeah. Austin Johnson, who's a
serviceable, rotational, good defensive lineman.
So, I mean, and there were some other guys thrown in there as well. Four starters, including the Offensive Player of the Year.
Two things I want to mention about that. First of all, if they would have kept their picks, they wouldn't have drafted those specific players.
Correct.
But it shows you the value of what you're getting
what
with
you're
those
trading
picks.
Away.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and frankly, you'd have the choice. You might have taken somebody better. I mean, you'd have,
right.
you'd have addressed more of a position of
you
need.
You would have addressed your needs, your specific needs.
And then Rams specifically, that's the last first-round pick they've had.
And then they doubled down on it by trading for Stafford because they traded two more first-round picks to go get Stafford. So
Brandon Cooks, Jalen Ramsey in the process, too.
This whole Jared Goff thing has set that franchise, to me, set the franchise back.
Yeah. I mean, they went to the Super Bowl, and they've been very successful. Yeah. And he's not Jamarcus Russell. I mean, they've won games with him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he hasn't killed the organization to that degree. But when you lay it out like that, what did we actually pay for this dude and then had to go buy another one?
Right. And then he wasn't good enough, so we had to go double down on this and trade away two more first-round picks
right.
to go get somebody to replace this guy. And we traded for a 33-year-old quarterback who has broken his back twice.
See, like I look at the Rams and think they could win the Super Bowl one of these next 2 years or both. I mean, they could be really good. But they could be the worst team in the league 3 years from now,
right.
too. Yeah, I mean, if you don't bring a first-round pick for 7 years, that's going to catch up to you.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt. I
right,
mean,
right,
at some
right.
point that bill is going to come due. Kind of like the Saints right now.
Similar,
the
yeah.
bill comes due at some point when you mm-hmm. spend that much and put that much into it. You're trading away picks. Hey, we're last year, what, they have three draft picks in the entire draft? Or was that 2 years ago?
The Rams? Or no, the Saints.
The Saints.
Saints had three.
Because
yeah.
they were going, we're going for it here.
They trade up.
Yeah.
That's the difference of the Rams. I give the Rams credit because they do bring in a lot of picks every year because they trade down and they use the comp market well. But they don't seem old now. He just won Defensive Player of the Year, and Ramsey might be the best corner in the league. They'll be old in 2 years.
Right.
And Stafford's already old, and, you know, Woods.
Yeah.
And
if you don't win next year with Stafford.
You're old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and now all of a sudden Aaron Donald's 30.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They're a blink away from being old.
Some of the other trades that have been made in that time. That same year, the Eagles traded up to number two to get Carson Wentz.
That was with the Browns, right?
And they had to make a couple of moves to get up there.
Oh, yeah, they did move up twice, right?
So they moved up. First of all, they sent their eighth pick. They moved up. They traded with Miami. They had the 13th pick that year. They had to trade up to eight. So they traded the 13th pick, which ended up being Laremy Tunsil.
Wow.
They also traded
The long mask.
Yeah, they also traded Byron Maxwell and Kiko Alonso.
To make that
move up.
Those two were salary dumps at the time.
Yeah,
that made the deal right. But it's funny is that deal happened like a week before the draft.
Right.
You know, like
they were positioning
that never
themselves.
Happens.
Yeah.
Someone doesn't trade from 8 to 15 before the draft not knowing he's going to be there.
So they then traded the 8th pick, a 2016 third-round pick and fourth-round pick, that same draft, and then a 2017 first-round pick and a 2018 second-round pick to the Browns for the second pick in the 2016 draft, which they then used on Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
The Browns traded some of those picks, including trading down with Tennessee then, which used a pick on Jack Conklin.
Okay.
Who then ends up being a Brown. They spent 25, right, right, or, you know, whatever it was.
So we just talked about Goff.
$15 million dollars a year to acquire him. They could have just drafted him.
Yeah, good point. Because people killed the Browns. You traded away from Wentz. Now they're not killing them so much.
They also traded away the pick with Houston, that pick, for Deshaun Watson. That would have been Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, imagine if they were stuck and just taken Watson.
The Eagles won the Super Bowl at the end of the 2017 season.
Correct.
But Wentz didn't play in that game.
Right.
He was hurt.
There has been a lot of injuries.
Yeah, so it just...
One thing that's interesting about that deal, though, is if I recall that offseason, they had Foles, they drafted Wentz, who they didn't think they could get the two to get, and they loved the guy, and they're going to trade him in the next 2 days, supposedly.
Right.
But then Teddy Bridgewater blows out his knee, and they still had Sam Bradford and shipped him for a one. So they kind of lucked out.
Which
with
was
their
fortunate
trade
for them, yeah.
That's total luck.
Total luck.
Because he wasn't worth a one to begin with.
The Texans traded up for Deshaun Watson. We've already talked a little bit about this one. So the Texans were looking for a trade partner to move up from 25th in 2017 for Watson.
Okay.
The Browns had three first-round draft picks that year thanks to making the trade, trades the previous year. So they got Houston's first-round pick in 2017 and their first-round pick in 2018 for the 12th pick in that draft, from the which they had already acquired from the Eagles.
Okay.
Or which was so the Texans got Watson, who's a franchise quarterback.
Oh, a superstar, yeah.
Yeah. The Browns, they took safety Jabril Peppers, who they later traded along with guard Kevin Zeitler, a first-round pick in 2019 and a third-round pick that year for wide receiver Odell Beckham and defensive lineman Olivier Vernon.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't think they won that deal, by the way.
No. But the next year, the pick that they got from the Brown or from the Texans was the fourth overall pick, which they then used on Denzel Ward.
Yeah. Wow.
So you had two of the top four picks in that draft.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Now, had you taken,
they earned the first pick, that's when they were.
Had you taken Watson instead of trading out of that.
Right. You still could end up with Ward.
You could have had Ward and Watson, and you would have, you know, maybe you don't have the first overall pick because you had Watson.
But you'd have been bad.
You'd have been, yeah.
You'd have got Bradley Chubb or something like that.
But you don't take Baker Mayfield. Maybe you build something else there. Which takes us to the.
Real quick, while you said that, though, that one was a little steal irrelevant because the Texans traded from 25 to 12 to get Watson, while the Steelers picked 24th.
Right.
And maybe Trey Lance falls to 12. You know, like, that was only two firsts. I just talked about the nest. I want to build the nest first.
Well, it was
too,
it was two firsts, and
there was some more stuff.
There was
in
some
there.
Other a couple. Okay. Yeah,
and that would make you really light elsewhere. But if Trey Lance turned into Deshaun Watson, which chances are slim.
Yeah,
you know,
the Chiefs traded up that same year to get Patrick Mahomes. They traded up from 27 to 10,
which is another
with
pretty
Buffalo.
Good jump. Right.
Yeah. So the Bills used those picks. They got they sent the 27th pick, a third-round pick that year, and Kansas City's 2018 first-round pick to Buffalo for the 10th pick in the draft.
Wow.
The Bills
took... Which worked out.
Which worked out, yeah.
Right.
But you don't know. I mean, it's still a gamble.
Sure.
The Bills took Tre'Davious White 27th.
Boom.
The Pro Bowl cornerback. Right. They then packaged those other picks that they got to move up to take Deion Dawkins, who's a starting offensive tackle
for
them. And then the next year, they used that pick, that 10th pick that they got, to move up and get Tremaine Edmonds.
Hmm, okay. Which was also the same draft class as Josh Allen.
Right.
Because they were, I want to say, talk about building the nest. I thought Buffalo did a good job of building a nest. If they would have, if you had taken Mahomes, I'd have been happy. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But I think they looked at it of, we need one more year of Tyrod Taylor and Dawkins and Edmonds and, you know, these things around it. And then next year we'll get our quarterback in Allen. They didn't know who it was going to be at the time.
Yeah.
But and then they took him the year after they traded away from Mahomes.
Yeah, we got the Bears moved up for Trubisky. That was a ridiculous trade. We've talked about that one in the past. Neither team really worked out for that one. In that one, the only team it worked out for was New Orleans, which made a trade with one of those picks to get Alvin Kamara third round.
Right.
The Ravens. So this one's interesting. The Ravens moved up to get Lamar Jackson the next year.
Yeah, right. Late at the end of the first,
they had already taken Hayden Hurst earlier in the first round. Baltimore sent its second-round pick, which was 52nd, and a fourth-round selection in 2018, along with a 2019 second-round pick to the Eagles to move up and take Jackson with the 32nd selection. The Eagles used those picks to acquire Dallas Goedert, Miles Sanders, and Avante Maddox, all three starters.
Yeah, right.
All in the second round, you know, second-round guys that they were able to get out of that, making that move.
Yeah, right. They're all quality dudes.
Yeah. The Cardinals moved up for Josh Rosen. That one didn't work out at all. The Cardinals traded the 15th pick in the draft, a third and a fifth round selection in 2018 to move up to the 10 spot.
Ahead of Allen.
Ahead of Allen.
Right.
Yeah.
And moved away from a year.
No, that wasn't ahead of Allen.
Allen went right before him?
Right before that, yeah. But they could have taken Jackson.
Right. They didn't know Kingsbury would be their coach. That's the kind of quarterback you wanted.
The Raiders took, with that 15th pick, Colton Miller.
Yeah, he's okay. He's starting tackle, and that's, they don't grow on trees.
Josh Rosen's on his fourth team.
But they took the wrong guy.
The Bills also went up to get Josh Allen. They could have taken Watson the previous year, remember?
Right, they had that pick.
So they sent the 12th overall pick, along with two second-round selections, which were 53 and 56. So pretty high picks.
Yeah, right.
To the Buccaneers to move up to get to move up to seven to get
Allen. Okay.
Tampa Bay took nose tackle Vita Vea at 12.
Yeah. Difference maker, yes.
Yeah. They took cornerback MJ Stewart with the first of those two second round picks.
He's the only defensive back that's not on the team that they've drafted high.
But they traded that second round pick, 56, to the Patriots, who took cornerback Duke Dawson.
Bad choice.
It was a bad pick.
Right.
They traded back, and what they got from New England for that was a pick that they used to take Carlton Davis and a fourth-round pick that they used to take Jordan Whitehead.
Wow.
Both of whom started in their secondary yesterday in the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. They've thrown a lot of early picks at defensive backs because they've had extra ones.
Yeah.
Right. Interesting.
And the final one here, and this one here is the kicker. The Jets traded up from 6 to 3 to get Sam Darnold that year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mayfield and Saquon went the first two.
Right. So they traded their first-round pick, which was 6, two second-round picks in 2018, and a second-round pick in 2019.
That's a lot to go 3 spots.
To the Colts.
Yeah.
To go get Darnold. The Colts then turned those picks into, the 6th pick that year was Quentin Nelson.
And remember, they have Andrew Luck at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't think they had a quarterback need.
So they take Quentin Nelson 6th. They then filled another spot on their offensive line with the Jets' first second-round pick, taking Braden Smith.
Starting right tackle.
They then traded their second-round pick to the Eagles, who took Goddard. They got some picks out of that. And then they used that second-round pick in 2019 on cornerback Rock Ya-Sin.
They've made a lot of second-round picks lately, too, and now they're starting to get aggressive. They built the nest, you know. Interesting. I mean, by no means are Houston, well, Houston's an asterisk by them, Kansas City, none of them are unhappy about trading up. I mean, if you get a franchise quarterback, and this goes back to our Friday conversation of all the first-round picks that aren't with their teams and whatnot. But if you get one that is, no matter what the cost, it's worth it.
Yeah.
But it's a massive risk.
Yeah.
And this leads us probably to our live mock draft session. Trading back is good business. You know what I mean?
It helps you build that nest.
It does.
Because, you know, for 2 years ago, well, Goff and Wentz, they're the long-time, you know, starters for these franchises.
Absolutely right.
You know, they
Mariota and Winston.
Yeah.
You know, right. I mean, just they weren't trade-ups, but their first two picks, I mean, they can't go wrong. Well, trading down ain't so bad.
Sometimes they do, and, man, you need that extra ammo to be able to do that. Now, next year, the Steelers should get some comp picks from some of the guys that they lost this year. They'll have more ammo next year to be able to make a move like that if they so choose.
If they so choose. And maybe they go free agency. I mean, they also have cap space.
They'll have the cap space. They have the ability to make a trade. Make an actual trade for a quarterback. There's all kinds of options that are open to them.
Right.
To me, trading up this year, giving up that kind of package for a quarterback doesn't make any sense.
Especially if you bring him in here, even if it's Trey Lance, but it probably would be Mac Jones, who I'm not as excited about. I mean, Lance I'd like to sit on the bench because he's got a higher upside. But he's behind a line that needs two or three things without a running game.
And to do that, you probably to make that kind of move to go from 24 to 10 or 7 where you have to get
and
to.
You're going to have a first-round pick next year.
Right. You're trading away too much.
Right. And then you get to the point where, well, now we have to go sign a left tackle.
Yeah, now you got to go sign Jack Conklin for $17 million a year.
Yeah, and that ain't the Steelers' way of doing things.
No.
And even if they do have the cash, which they would next year, then you cut those guys 2 years later, and your cap problems are bad again.
Yeah.
You know.
Now you're the Browns.
Yeah, and the quarterback situation could be a disaster this year. But then you're—I mean, not that this is a good thing—but then you're picking pretty early.
Yeah. Then you don't have to trade.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the beauty of the NFL is they reward the teams to struggle a little bit too. So and Rudolph is looming. I mean, You could live a year with him being your starter, or the last 8 games of this upcoming season, or whatever. You know.
Yeah. But that's why you also don't kick Ben Roethlisberger out the door when you don't have...
When there's nothing else.
Yeah.
Right.
So he is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We're going to take a break. We'll be more back with more right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson, and it's time for the Fantasy Football Focus. And, well, quite frankly, we didn't focus too well.
No. Super Bowl did not go as many of us expected.
It did not. And you know, I thought we had a good, strong lineup, and most weeks we would have had a good, strong lineup. Mm-hmm. If you look at this, our DraftKings lineup, we had Travis Kelce as our captain because we had to do that format this week.
Yeah,
that worked out okay.
Oh, he was good. Yeah.
I mean, Kelce ended up with 39.45 points, which was almost half of our points. That was the problem.
That was the problem, right.
Because
we didn't miss on our top shot, though.
Yeah. Patrick Mahomes was not good.
Do you think it's safe to say that any lineup that had Mahomes probably didn't make money this
probably
year?
Probably did not make money.
I mean,
money.
If you hit on everything else, you probably won.
He had 12.10 points.
Because that means he didn't have Brady, too.
And we had to spend $12,000 on
it. Yeah.
That was the key. Mike Evans.
Yeah, right.
Mike Evans is did nothing in the. He had one catch for 31 yards.
Yeah. I didn't think the Chiefs' D was horrible.
It just killed us. Yeah. I mean,
I'm not sure they were the reason they lost, or. I mean, they did some
they
good
did,
things.
They played the way they normally play.
Mm-hmm.
They're
tough on receivers.
Yeah, the offense just didn't
no.
follow suit. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 64 rushing yards, two catches for 23 yards. We got 10.7 points out of him.
I thought there was more meat on the bone there, too.
Yeah.
I would have dumped it to him a little bit more often. And they started to do it late, but draws and things like that were working.
Second half they came out and did it. Mm-hmm. But by then the horse
was pretty good.
Horse was already out of the barn.
Yeah.
And then we had Ronald Jones. We had 6.1 points out of him. He had 61 rushing yards. Just missed on a touchdown.
Two goal line carries didn't help. Yeah, right.
Just missed on a touchdown. Ryan Succop then as well. We got 9 out of him. Apparently, we needed to have Butker. He's kicking field goals left and right.
Right. I mean, they're not scoring touchdowns. But Butker only got 8 then, too, right? Or 9.
Well, but I think 2 of those were 50 yarders.
Oh, so. I didn't know that the yardage difference counted. So, he was the better kicker to take.
Yeah, he would have had like 12 or something like that.
Okay. Do we have the Chiefs D, too?
We did not. We talked about that.
Okay, yeah.
We didn't have the Bucks D. We didn't have to play a defense.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about going cheap and maybe trying to slide the defense in there.
Oh, now I remember. Okay. Yeah, because this is odd format. I understand.
So. That would have. We still wouldn't want money, but
right.
Because Mahomes just killed us.
Yeah,
the winning lineup, and there were a bunch of people who actually had this because it was just one game. Had Gronk as the captain.
Yeah,
Gronk. He had 6 catches for 67 yards and 2 touchdowns. He had 37.05 points. So we had the better captain play there with Kelce.
Right, but it cost us more.
It cost us a lot more money because Gronk was $4,500.
Right, and your captains costed more to pay for, right? Weren't they 1.5 or whatever?
Now, Kelce, as just a flex play, was $11,000. He was in the mm-hmm. lineup, in the winning lineup. He had 26.3 points.
But you'd be better off Gronk as captain, Kelce as flex, than vice versa.
I guess.
Just because you had more to spend.
You had more to spend, yeah.
I mean, as long as you didn't spend it on Mahomes.
We paid $16,000 for Kelce as our captain. He was $11,000
as
a flex, yeah. Tyreek Hill was in the winning lineup at 14.8 points, even though he didn't do much. But he got some garbage time late.
Okay.
Tom Brady got 19.84 points out of that game. He only threw for 201 yards.
Wasn't a huge day for him.
He wouldn't have been my MVP.
No, me either. It really would have been Todd Bowles. I know you're not allowed to give it away. But I didn't know, would you give it to Fournette or
Shaq
Barrett?
I probably would have leaned towards Fournette or one of those defensive front mm-hmm. guys.
There just wasn't a second option that jumped off the screen. I'd consider Gronk, too.
I would have considered, Gronk was...
Week off was good for Gronk.
Fournette, to me, I thought really kind of controlled the pace of the game for them a little bit.
Yeah.
Fournette, speaking of him, was in the lineup. In the winning lineup, he had 46 receiving yards, 89 rushing yards on 4 catches, and also scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
It was kind of a backbreaker.
Yeah.
So he had 23.5 points. And then Antonio Brown, was in the winning lineup.
That's pretty good.
5 catches, 22 yards, a touchdown.
Yeah, it sounds like Fournette and AB have a good chance to come back to Tampa next year. I would imagine they'll take a little less to do it. They both are pretty solid contributors. I think Fournette's value's a little inflated. He still doesn't look special to me.
Yeah.
I mean, he's taking advantage of opportunities.
I think he made like $3.5 million this year from them. Okay. He's going to want more than that.
Probably.
Yeah.
But he isn't. I know a lot of people are like, Steelers should sign Fournette. Well, maybe he preferred Tampa to Pittsburgh. We don't even know that. And even if Pittsburgh even kicked the tires on him, he didn't look like that in Jacksonville, by the way. And I still don't think he looks tremendous. He's just in a great situation.
Yeah. The second place team, and there were a bunch of people that had this one. They scored 131.89 points. The winning score was 134.69. Had Fournette as the captain.
I guess that worked out
he
well.
He had 35.25 points as the captain. Of course, he was 11,700 to put in that spot.
Receiving, too.
Yeah. They had Kelsey as the flex, as a flex.
Sure.
Tyreek Hill as a flex. Tom Brady as a flex. Gronk as a flex. He was $3,000 just
They're
as a
all
flex.
Hits.
And then the Buccaneers defense at 2,800 scored 11 points.
That's a cheapie to get 11 points out of.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
And you see this a lot. The third place lineup had Gronk as the captain. That one, they had the third place lineup actually had Mahomes in there.
Really?
Yeah.
That's hard to overcome.
It was, but they had Kelsey. They had Brady. They got both quarterbacks.
They got both quarterbacks.
Yeah,
they paid for
that
Gronk.
Helped.
Now I understand.
They had Fournette as a flex.
Solid.
And they had Butker as a flex. Butker had 12 points as a flex.
That's a lot. I mean,
yeah.
It's kind of like
so everybody else in that lineup kind of hit.
That's the only lineup that had a hole, though.
You know,
like the first two were solid all the way across the board. Which I think you'd have to be with only one game to pick from.
But that was we looked at trying to figure out a way to get both quarterbacks in there. You couldn't do it unless you put somebody.
The cheap flex guy.
In the captain.
Maybe we learned our lesson on that, too.
Yeah, maybe, I don't play this format necessarily all the time, and this is why.
I don't love the format, to be honest with you, but maybe going cheap on a captain is how you win.
The fourth place team had Brady as their captain.
That worked, I guess, but he's expensive.
He was expensive. He was $15,000 to be your captain. But that allowed them then, they had Kelsey as a flex, Tyreek Hill as a flex, Fournette as a flex, Gronk as a flex, and the Buccaneers defense.
All home runs,
so you could go you could go cheap with Gronk and the Bucs, and you ended up getting 35.7 points out of those two spots.
You have some cojones, though, to pick the Bucs D before that game started.
And Gronk.
Yeah.
He hadn't done anything in the playoffs.
He hadn't done anything in the playoffs. I actually made some money on prop bets with Gronk because, you know, Brate was on the injury report, Gronk with an extra week's rest. I thought Brady would trust him, but I didn't expect him to look as good as he did or score two touchdowns, you know, obviously.
Yeah. And then finally, the fifth-place team had Fournette as the captain, Kelsey, Brady, Edwards-Helaire, who was in our
lineup.
He
wasn't bad, yeah.
Yeah, 10.7 points, Antonio Brown, and then Gronk.
Again, pretty solid.
As you see, I mean, obviously,
there's no Evans, there's no Godwins.
Yeah,
right.
Those guys that
that
you paid up to get, even Tyreek Hill wasn't great.
Tyreek Hill's
and you paid
you could
for
live
it.
With,
yeah.
But you prefer you didn't.
Yeah,
yeah.
But there wasn't to me, there wasn't a lot of secondary kind of.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah. Is like I bet
most Super Bowls are somebody that comes out of nowhere to how'd this guy catch a touchdown or that
Hardman or Watkins, you know, somebody like that you didn't count on has a huge day that wins you it that every lineup would have had a guy in there. You know, there wasn't that guy, you're right. They're kind of predictable where the football went.
Yeah, you just needed to find the right mix of those guys these eight guys
in some order
are gonna work, and we just picked the wrong eight guys.
We did. Yeah, we went in on Mahomes.
Yeah.
You know, which I probably would do again if they played tomorrow. I'm not real worried about that.
I don't know if I would because he's kind of banged up in that game.
Rough. Yeah. He was under immense pressure.
And they said he needs surgery on that toe. So that's a pretty serious injury.
Yeah. I mean, that's next for them. But I bet they draft offensive linemen.
I would. Offensive linemen and inside linebackers.
Yeah. And they did draft William Gay last year, and he's a project, and he knew it. But I think you're going to look back at their early picks and be like, maybe we shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, might have wanted to spend a little bit somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Get some bread and butter pieces.
Yeah, because you have, right? I mean, they had
a weapon. They had enough weapons.
They had an assortment of riches at the running back position.
They didn't even know Damian Williams was opting out at that point.
Yeah.
But they still had him at that point. Yeah, and you can get other guys.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's going to do it for the fantasy football focus. So, we'll probably take a few weeks off from the fantasy football talk here.
I would think, yeah.
Wait till we get a little start talking more draft as we move forward. But we're going to take a break. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio.
You're tuned to The Drive on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. Steelers Nation Radio.
We are back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Matt, you did a mock draft over the weekend for the Draft Network, I believe.
It was for Pro Football Network.
Football Network.
Yeah, right.
I keep messing that one up.
Yeah, it's
Pro Football
right.
Network. I thought we'd go through that here real quickly.
Sure.
You had Jacksonville taking Trevor Lawrence.
Yep,
no surprise there. Jets taking Zach Wilson, the quarterback out of BYU.
Do you have a preference? I don't yet. I need to do more research of Fields versus Wilson. It seems like most people think Wilson will go ahead of him, so I was torn there.
Yeah,
I don't have a strong.
I haven't, right. I haven't gotten into it that.
Me too.
Greatly, because quite frankly,
I don't think they're gonna be there at 24.
They're not gonna be there at 24, so I'm really not focusing on that position right now. You have Miami taking a Penei Sewell, the
that
offensive
was kind
tackle
of a curveball
out of Oregon.
And my thoughts were. Are wide receivers going to be the new running backs of – do we really need to use an early pick on these guys? There's so many second and third, and they've been late first, too.
And a lot of those guys, those second and third round picks, end up hitting
– Devontae Adams and Michael Thomas and DK Metcalf and on and on and on. And Miami also has another first. If you can get a franchise left tackle, I think they might take that route and just say, we'll find a receiver in the second or third round or take two of them.
You can do that, yeah.
Right.
Four, you have Atlanta taking Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm. I think that's almost a no-brainer. I think they're better than the fourth worst team in the league. But if you can get that guy there to sit behind Ryan for a year and just stash him away in a Mahomes-like manner, do it.
Yeah, Fields, maybe he doesn't go as high as Wilson. I think some people maybe feel Wilson's a little more ready right now.
He's a little more NFL ready from what I understand.
But Fields is way the far better, more talented.
There's a lot to work with.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And
yeah.
Sit there for a year, he may be a superstar. I think he's from that area, too. He's a Georgia guy.
Cincinnati, another curveball year. You have them take the Bengals taking tight end Kyle Pitts out of Florida.
Yeah, and if you read the write-up on it, my logic was, well, Sewell's there, you run to the podium. And we're not doing any trades in this. Maybe you trade down. I've seen some people say, Slater from Northwestern could go that high. That seems a little rich for me for a 6'4".
Just to take a lineman
out.
He could play anywhere on your line. I think
he could,
yeah.
And I think he's a great prospect. But I think Pitts is a phenomenal prospect. And my logic was, there's free agency to happen between now and the draft, and people forget those things. Yeah. I bet the Bengals sign a guy, and Jonah Williams comes back, and then the second round you draft a lineman. Like, you don't have to take the fifth pick in the draft to be a lineman.
Yeah, here's the thing. I mean, once Sewell goes. There's probably 10 guys you'll have graded higher than your next best offensive lineman.
That's what I'm thinking, right. Don't
because
take him then.
You're not taking Slater if you think he's going to be – he can't play tackle. Well, then you're not taking a guard at 5
right.
Unless you think he's the next Quentin Nelson.
Exactly. I mean, it has to be a very special player. And in the real world, maybe you trade up to 3 and take Sewell or trade back to 8 and take Pitts or Slater or somebody like that. But the way I was doing it, you couldn't. And I think Pitts is phenomenal.
Yeah. At 6, you have Philadelphia taking Ja'Marr Chase, the wide receiver out of LSU.
I think he'll be the first receiver off the board. I think Wentz will be gone. I think Hurts, you want to give him all the weapons you possibly can. Build the nest.
Yeah. At 7, you have Detroit taking Devontae Smith, the wide receiver out of Alabama.
I think they stick with Goff for a year.
And they really don't. I mean, none of the receivers are under contract. Like
they need one bad. They need one bad.
They need a lot of stuff bad.
They do.
Yeah.
But that's another one, almost like our Steeler conversation. If you draft the quarterback now, he's not going to have much around him.
Right.
And you at least have Goff as at least a placeholder, maybe more. Wait a year.
At 8, you have Carolina taking Trey Lance.
I think they do it.
Quarterback at North Dakota State.
They do a jig to get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been actually rumored to be in that veteran quarterback market as well.
Yeah.
So,
who knows?
I mean, they tried to get in on the Stafford deal.
Right.
So they're definitely looking. At 9, you have Denver taking cornerback Caleb Farley out of Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm. Really talented guy. There's two corners, I think, him and Surtain, that'll start to be in this neighborhood. corners don't last, especially when you're 6'2 and run a 4'3, and you know, I think Farley's going to go really early.
At 10, you have another cornerback being taken by Dallas, Patrick Surtain, the cornerback out of Alabama.
I think they'd be really happy with that, too. I mean, that's certainly an area of need.
At 11, the Giants take Jalen Waddell, wide receiver out of Alabama.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure he doesn't go ahead of Smith when it's all said and done. You know, like Ruggs went ahead of Judy, and Waddell was considered the better prospect when they both were healthy.
Yeah.
You know, and he is, yeah, I think the Giants could use that, too. They don't have a big play guy.
At 12, you have San Francisco taking J.C. Horn, a cornerback out of South Carolina.
A little early, but they have a big cornerback need. They don't need a lot.
Yeah. What you're seeing here is a lot of corners and wide receivers early in this draft.
Yeah.
And quarterbacks,
not
obviously.
Not uncommon.
Yeah. At 13, Rashawn Slater goes to the Chargers, the offensive
I think he'll go earlier.
I'm an offensive
that.
Lineman from
– Yeah.
Yeah, because he could play really anywhere.
They could certainly use him. I do think he'll fall earlier than that. They would. I mean, that's a home run for them, but – You know, mock drafts are weird. There's no trades, and you know.
Yeah. At 14, Gregory Rousseau, the edge rusher out of Miami, goes to Minnesota.
They need him.
They need an edge. Yeah.
They're really edge dependent, and when Hunter was out this year, it hurt them bad.
At 15, you have New England taking Mac Jones.
I think that Saban Belichick connection is a nice thing to fall back on in a year that you don't know as much about prospects. You know, Bill calls up Nick and says, is Mac the guy? And Nick says yes. No, they do it.
Do you think that Jones will be somebody that quarterback needy teams might want to trade up ahead of?
Maybe.
I'm looking here at who's after New England. You got Arizona, you got Las Vegas.
Yeah. I think either one of those teams do.
Miami, no. Washington?
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
Chicago?
I also think if there's a run, I'm not sure that Mac Jones doesn't go to Carolina at 8. I mean,
yeah.
I didn't think Daniel Jones would go as early as
he did.
I
could see somebody trading up to 9 with Denver and trying to get...
Denver doesn't have to go that corner.
Right.
They could move back 5
spots. Or Dallas, mm-hmm. you know, to make that move. Hey, we need to get a corner here, but we can get one a little bit later if we acquire some more picks.
Yeah, I think it's very possible. What was I going to say? Oh, kind of like you said with Carolina, New England may have a guy. You know, maybe they signed somebody by this point and they're out of the young quarterback market, but I'm not projecting that. I don't know.
Arizona, you have taking Christian Darrisaw, the offensive tackle out of Virginia Tech.
They're a hard team for me. I just kind of gave them the best guy on the board in that position. I mean, they could go wide out. They could use another pass rusher. There's a lot of things they could use.
Yeah, they absolutely you have the Raiders taking Micah Parsons, the linebacker out of Penn State.
I don't know if he falls that far either. He's a pretty special guy. But
yeah.
Those opt-out dudes
are tough.
Right.
Yeah.
And they need him.
Miami, you have taken Kadarius Toney, the wide receiver out of Florida.
Mm-hmm. I was a little torn on that one. You know, I was.
You have them taking two wide receivers?
No, I had Miami take the Tack Sewell first.
Oh,
most people
right.
had
that's
them
right.
taking tackle.
Yeah.
So my thought was give him some kind of weapon. Tony's like that versatile do-it-all guy. It doesn't mean you can't take a receiver still in the third round with size.
Right,
too,
right,
you know?
Right.
Just make Tua's nest better.
Washington, you have taking Elijah Vera Tucker, the offensive lineman at USC.
You think his name's going to be floated around Pittsburgh when it gets down to that time? I mean, he
potentially,
like
but
in that neighborhood.
A lot of people project him more as a guard than a tackle.
Guard tackle. Which doesn't matter to Washington. They could just use one of those guys, and who knows if Schreff will
be. But if you think he's more of a guard than a tackle, then he doesn't fit here in Pittsburgh.
Agreed. Yeah.
Chicago, you have taken Tevin Jenkins, the offensive tackle out of Oklahoma State.
I think his name will be thrown around to Pittsburgh a lot.
Yeah. And this is the way, you know, offensive linemen aren't sexy picks.
No.
But they do end up usually going in the top 20 picks. If they're in, you know, if they've got any kind of pedigree.
Oh, yeah.
They're usually, you know.
It seems like a pretty good draft to grab a tackle, not a center, but a tackle from 18 to 25-ish.
Right.
You know,
that's kind of the sweet spot.
Falling. Right.
Indianapolis at 21, you have taken Kweedy Pay, the edge out of Michigan.
Mm-hmm. They could use the left tackle. I don't know who their quarterback
is. This is assuming they don't trade that pick for a quarterback.
Yeah. Who's to say? I mean, I'm going to guess that they have some sort of quarterback at this point, and there wasn't one to take. I'm not going to give them Kyle Trask or somebody like that. So a Justin Houston replacement, heir apparent type.
Yeah. 22, you have Tennessee taking Zaven Collins, the linebacker out of Tulsa.
They were preferred pay, in my opinion. But you know, the Tulsa kid is kind of an off-the-ball, kind of a stand-up, 3-4 outside linebacker type. Vrabel has some position versatility. They need to get better. He's a good pass rusher, but a true pass rusher I think would have been better. I just didn't think one was worth it there.
Yeah. At 23, you have the Jets taking Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah.
I think he's going to go a lot higher. Yeah, the Notre Dame run and hit linebacker. I bet he goes a lot earlier. Linebacker, they have so many other needs. I doubt that one comes to fruition, but I just figured if you're the Jets and you got Trevor Lawrence and you got a bunch of picks and this guy's better than everybody else on the board, take him.
Yeah. Now we're up to pick 24, and it's been a pretty good run on offensive linemen there. The best guy still available, Jalen Mayfield.
Good play.
I think out of Michigan, Alex Leatherwood still there. Didn't have a great Senior Bowl.
Both people have also talked guard with them a little bit. A
little bit, yeah. So you had the Steelers going a different direction here. You've got the Steelers taking Najee Harris, the running back out of Alabama.
If anyone listened to the first segment, I think he's that guy. I mean, a really developing receiver, five-star recruit with tons of talent, size, physicality. I really like the player.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. You question the running back in the first round.
Sure.
Stuff, but this is not a great running back draft class.
And I think he's clearly number one.
Yeah. I think there are some guys there in that second wave of offensive linemen that are going to be in rounds two and three.
It's rather deep.
Yeah.
You know, and there isn't a center to take. There wasn't a tackle that I was doing cartwheels for. And you know us. I mean, certainly would have considered trading down.
Yeah. 25, you have Jacksonville taking Christian Barrymore, the defensive tackle out of Alabama. That's the first defensive tackle taken. Mm-hmm. That might not happen that way because those guys usually get pushed up the board a little
bit. They do, yeah. And he had a really good national title game. There's a lot to work with there. That was another case of just Jacksonville needs a little bit of everything. He's too good to pass up. You already grabbed Lawrence. You know, like you got something there to help both sides of the ball a little bit.
Yeah. 26, you have Cleveland taking Jaylene Phillips, the edge out of Miami.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if Vernon will be back.
I don't think he will.
Yeah. I didn't know that there was a linebacker really worthy of it or a safety. I think that has to be defense.
Yeah, Vernon tore his Achilles in that.
He's going to be ready for week one at least.
No,
I think he's a free agent.
And he's 30 and he's a free agent.
Yeah.
So
getting even if he's just a part-time guy for passing downs would be helpful for them.
At 27, you have Baltimore taking Joseph Asai. The edge rusher out of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
They have no edge rushers under contract.
I was going to go guard or edge rusher.
Yeah.
And it seemed like the edge rusher was a better value, tougher position to find.
At 28, the Saints take Terrence Marshall, the wide receiver out of LSU.
Yeah, I think it'll be Winston and Hill, and quarterback will be for another day. Michael Thomas is rumored to have been wanting out forever, and they need to find another option next to him. And, you know, he's from down that neck of the woods.
29, the Packers don't help their offense again. You got them taking Tyson Campbell, the cornerback out of Georgia.
I thought about it. I almost took Bateman from Minnesota, and I even wrote in the lineup that Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be happy again. But, man, Kevin King was a problem at corner.
Yeah.
And finding a talented dude, corners just, they go quicker. You'll get a second-round receiver that is helpful.
At 30, Buffalo takes Azeez Ojulari, the edge rusher out of Georgia.
They don't have a real difference maker up front. Jerry Hughes is the closest thing.
And he's getting not, up in age.
Yeah, he's getting up in age. They could use a corner as well. I mean, the two Georgia guys going back-to-back, maybe they would have taken the other one if he was still there. I think that's a defensive pick, though.
Yeah, I think that's probably what they need to do there. At 31, or actually, he should be 31.
Yeah, I set that in before the Super Bowl. So
31 is Kansas City taking Jalen Mayfield, the offensive lineman out of Michigan.
That seems like a slam dunk for them.
They have to.
Guard and then maybe eventual right tackle, but just help the O-line. I think we saw enough last night to say that.
Unless you go for another inside backer or something like that.
Maybe.
A second-level guy, at least.
You know, but, yeah, I hear you.
And then Tampa Bay, you have taking Travis Etienne, the running back out of Clemson.
I didn't have a good fit for them. You know, a lot of it's who they bring back and who they don't. If Shaq Barrett's playing elsewhere, edge goes to the top of the list. If Godwin doesn't come back, maybe receivers and something there. I don't love Etienne, but he's a lot different than the backs they have, assuming Fournette comes back. He has some receiving skill to win now move.
Yeah. That's Matt's first mock draft. We'll be doing a lot of mock draftings here. We've been doing them already, but for those who aren't aware, last year we started a series on Steelers.com breaking down different positions. What we call
the
triple play.
Be videos and
we do videos. We do audios. We'll play some of those back here, of course, on the network.
Yeah, Mike Rasuda joins us for those too. So,
but we're also doing mock drafts this year on there, which we didn't do last year.
There's gonna be a lot more content draft stuff than you guys are used to. So tune in.
Yeah, so it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that, and maybe we should keep track of that for our final mock. Who's right and who's wrong?
Yeah, all right. I'm fine with that. I'll take the Pepsi challenge with you too.
But yeah, a lot of draft talk today. Really, the first official day of the off season.
Yeah, the season is over, and now it's a lot of teams have been in this mode, including Pittsburgh. But it's time to start talking free agents. I'm sure a lot of people out there listening don't know the massive list of guys whose contracts are expired from the other teams. I mean, not that the Steelers will be huge buyers, but draft coverage is going to be huge for the Steelers this year.
Yeah, going to be huge, and of course we'll have fewer and less. No combine this year.
Right.
Less information out there. We'll have to rely on the specific information coming out of the pro days, which can be a little
hairy.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we won't have our guests from the combine. We've had some really good shows from the combine.
We have. Hopefully, we're able to get some guests on the show here. I'm going to try to start working on that. Mm-hmm. We're also going to be changing the format of the show a little bit here.
Yeah,
Starting Wednesday, we'll go to 3 27-minute segments that can be broken down into individual podcasts. So
the drive will now be 3 podcasts a day instead of one long one. Right?
You don't have to listen to the full 2 hours all at one time. You can break down.
They're a little more digestible. Cool.
Yeah, so we'll probably still do some mock drafts in that stuff.
We'll do
as
plenty
well.
Of that.
Yeah,
stuff,
lots of mock drafts. That's easy.
I'm hoping we can get to a mini camp. Those type of things would be. I know the combine's not there, but the next thing's up on the list. Broadcast the draft live.
Either that, or we need to take the show on the road and go to like Ohio State's pro day.
Right. You and I talked about going back to Pitt Johnstown, our old stomping grounds. Not a real hotbed for football, but we could still have fun there.
Not really, but yeah.
Someone would sponsor.
We would be on a college campus in the spring.
That'd be fine
while,
by me.
While teams are doing their pro days.
Right. Maybe some of our old watering holes would have us there.
Anyways, let's take a break. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back to finish up the show right after this.
You're tuned to The Drive on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, Steelers Nation Radio.
I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Matt, the Steelers announcing the hirings officially of 3 new assistant coaches. That would be quarterbacks coach Mike Sullivan, assistant offensive line coach Chris Morgan, and Matt Tomshaw as quality control coach. Mm. Getting the question a lot, what does a quality control coach do?
I just got to help you with that.
A little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. I mean, at the college level, those are GAs, basically. Right. I mean, that's what I did in the recruiting world. Back in the day at Pitt, I'm sure it's different now. We had a recruiting GA, a defensive GA, and an offensive GA. We all made $12,000 a year and worked every minute of every day.
Go get tapes.
This is the NFL version where you can actually support your family, and it's a good job, but it's a low guy on the totem pole.
Yeah.
They do a lot of tape breakdown, a lot of stuff in advance. Back in the day, I know things changed dramatically, but like, those guys, even on Saturday, would wait around till like 1 in the morning until a FedEx delivery of the tapes from the upcoming opponents would show up so they could break them down and spend all night doing it. So when the coaches rolled in on Sunday after a game, they had all kinds of stuff to break down and look at, like all the little things behind the scenes to make the coach's life easier.
Yeah, I mean, that's
the stepping stone job.
It's really a stepping stone job. Morgan comes to the Steelers from the Atlanta Falcons. He'd been their offensive line coach, I believe, since 2014 or 15, whatever it was. So he was the head offensive line coach.
I would say he's their top guy.
Yeah,
overqualified for the job.
Yeah. So you got two.
He had some good linemen there too. Yeah. Mack and Matthews. And
two strong voices in the room now with Clem and Morgan.
Yeah. That's
and then Sullivan was the quarterback's coach and offensive coordinator with the. Giants when they won Super Bowls. And so
Eli.
Yeah, with Eli. Of course, Morgan also has some Super Bowl experience as well because he was an assistant offensive line coach with Seattle when Seattle won a Super Bowl.
Okay.
Was also took, you know, there when the Falcons went to the Super Bowl. So there's some, there's some pedigree there with these guys. Yeah,
right. That in itself has a lot of value to me. I mean, you've been around winners that go to the final game of the year, win it in one case. You have a pretty good understanding of how things gel with those teams. That Atlanta team was that Shanahan offense that was really exceptional, really. And I hope to see more of those ideas, play action, play action, play action. So good. Again, assistant coach hirings and firings and whatnot are a hard thing for us to comment
they
on.
They are, yeah.
Especially for you this year, not being around the team as much as usual. But you got to trust them. I mean, we're kind of looking at resumes and going from there, but we'll see.
Yeah, I was doing I got my live cues today.
Okay.
Live questions today. I'm going to go through some of the questions here that I've gotten. And one of the questions is, last week you seemed insistent that the team will not go with a defensive player in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a position or player on defense, though, where you could see them pulling the trigger if something great fell to them, I think a stud inside linebacker or cornerback dropping them at 24, would they consider that?
Consider. I mean,
what's stud?
Like if it's the dude from Notre Dame that doesn't belong, it shouldn't have lasted, or if Micah Parsons is there,
yeah,
or something that's
I don't see a cornerback, a quote unquote stud cornerback falling to 24.
That does not happen. Right, it doesn't happen first.
Unless
of all.
He's has a DUI, then 2 days before
there's some issue, or a knee concern, or something like that. I can't see corner being the call no matter what. First of all, at your point, they get drafted higher than they deserve, if anything, not lower. Linebackers could be the opposite. And we opened the show saying we've seen a couple mocks with linebackers in the first round, and I kind of understand it. I still think it's a long shot, though. They've gone so many years in a row with their top pick being on defense, and considering the state of their quarterback now and the following years, I think you got to build the offensive nest.
Yeah, I think so as well. That kind of leads me into my next question here. So, hi, Dale. This is from Lewis G78.
Oh, that's lovely.
Hi, Dale. You mentioned the Steelers will potentially have more draft capital in the 2022 draft thanks to compensatory picks.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a long ways off, but can you shed light on potential quarterbacks the Steelers can go after in next year's draft?
I could not,
but I did look up some of the top names.
Okay.
There's not a Lawrence,
from what I understand.
Would be Jaden Davis from Arizona State.
Okay.
Keaton Slovis from USC.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Howell from North Carolina. I've actually seen him play a little bit.
Yeah, I've heard good things about him.
And Spencer Rattler from Oklahoma.
Okay. I think Cincinnati's got a guy, too, and I don't know his name off the top of my head.
There'll be guys that emerge.
Yeah, there always is. I mean, no one knew Wentz.
Nobody knew who Joe Burrow was 3 years ago.
Absolutely. So I don't think there's a stud, but I also don't think the Steelers are picked first overall anyway. So if there's five or six names being thrown around in that first-round mix, cool. Two of those guys will not be first-rounders, and two more will that we don't know. But I don't have a great feel of is this a great quarterback class or not.
I mean, nobody even played a full season this year.
That's less information than ever,
like,
too.
A lot of teams played 6-8 games, something like that. It's tough.
You're asking true sophomores to, what kind of tape, and you played 3 games or something like
right,
that.
Right, yeah. It's tough. Guys will emerge. Another questioner asked me.
I think we'll know more about next year's class this
than
time
we do this.
Than we do this year's
absolutely.
Class. Right.
No doubt about that. Another questioner asked me, all things considered, if I'm in charge of re-signing Steelers,
mm-hmm.
knowing what the again, I'm working within the constraints of the salary cap.
Sure, we're not just making up salaries out of the blue.
Who do I work to re-sign with this team? And my answers were Banner, Alualu, and Sutton.
Yeah, I think that's a really strong answer. We've talked about a little here. Who would be fourth? I guess is my question to you.
Oh, that's a tough call on that. I mean, maybe. I mean, I would.
I'm not even sure.
I don't know. I would explore. Can you bring Hilton back? That would be great. I don't know if that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be able to afford Juju. You're not going to be able to afford Bud.
Right.
I mean, all things being equal, I'm re-signing Bud. Right.
I mean, if I had the money and all those things, he's the most valuable to me. I mean, really, it'd be those three. And then probably wait and see if Dangerfield or Barry or Connor or someone like that still float around.
These guys would be my priorities here because I think I can get them I think I can get Banner and Alualu reasonable deals.
I can't see them demanding a lot right now.
And Sutton, to me, because he plays both inside and out, gives you more flexibility.
Than Hilton,
yeah.
Is he younger?
They're about the same age.
I thought he was a year younger, but that's not like a big deal, obviously. I also think he has less wear and tear in his body, and I just say that because Hilton's little. He throws his body around and behind the line of scrimmage a lot. I think Sutton's more valuable. I think he's an ascending player, not that Hilton isn't. The versatility's great. If Hayden slips, I can put Sutton out there, you know, those type of things. Gives me the advantage, too, of when the fifth round rolls around, I can take any type of corner. I could take the smaller slot. I could take an outside guy, preferably a slot, but it doesn't have to be, you know.
Yeah.
So he's a valuable guy.
Yeah.
He's one I think is going to get money, though. If it's not here, he's not going to just, you know, take a cheap deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, it depends on what else is available in the cornerback market. How much do people like that rookie cornerback market?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if you're sitting there and you got, okay, we've got a need here, but we're picking 12th, and we think we can get
Farley. Or
yeah, we can get one of these guys, get him on a rookie deal. And well, obviously, he's you know, if you think he's going in the first round, you think he's probably better than.
It's one of those positions though that you can never have too many.
Yeah,
you know, you'd love to have four.
Right,
and that's hard to get.
This one comes and it kind of plays into the discussion we had in terms of the Super Bowl stuff. It says Devin White had a breakout postseason. Obviously, Devin Bush got hurt early in his second year and didn't have the same opportunity. What are the chances he elevates his games to White's level once healthy?
Well, I mean, I think that that is not a position that comes in and recognizes plays and deals with play action and things like that immediately, and it takes a little more time than you think because it's a really reactionary position. I also don't think he's quite as gifted as White. I mean, I know they both ran similar 40s.
But he's got
but he's very gifted.
He's got more size. He's, you know.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of experience already as well. I think his recognition stuff was really showing up before his injury. I thought he already took a step forward. Breakout might have been a little strong, but.
Yeah, he still makes mistakes.
Still makes mistakes, yeah. All right, and let's phrase it differently. What percent chance is he a Pro Bowler next year?
Which one?
Bush?
You know,
40?
I think he was.
I don't think that's far-fetched.
No, because when you look at what he was doing, first of all, the 4.5 games that they the first 5 games of the season, they had Devin Bush. He played 4.5 of those games.
Mm-hmm.
They were allowing 66 yards rushing per game.
Yeah, and shutting down receiving backs. And
doing all that stuff.
Yep.
After that, they allowed about 119 yards rushing per game.
I don't think it's an accident.
That's not an accident.
It's not the only thing that went wrong between then and then.
But late, you know. But he's kind of a bit of an eraser for you on that.
Yeah.
You know, he had in his first year as a rookie, he had I believe four pass breakups.
Okay,
we already had 3 in the first 4.5 games.
Yeah.
I mean, he was already. You saw some of that coming along. I know everybody said, "Whoa, he gave up a touchdown to Noah Fant." And first of all, that wasn't his guy.
Okay,
let's understand that.
Right.
You know, he had a job to do. He had the middle zone. Fant caught the ball over on the left sideline. Just because he crossed in front of Bush's face does not mean that was Bush's guy.
Mm-hmm.
That was somebody else blowing that coverage.
And still, people are going to allow touchdowns. There's a lot of touchdowns scored in the league this year. I mean, you're at a disadvantage. I do think I've gotten a lot of that, though. Boy, I wish our guy was as good as Devin White. Well, a lot of it's because it's
one was the 5th overall guy.
Right.
The other one was the 10th. So,
and you watched every playoff game, every snap, because there wasn't 16 games on Sunday. And Bush was on that path, too, and it just got robbed. I don't think it's – by no means should that be a discredit to Bush that White's playing well.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And I get it, just because they were both drafted in this, in this, you know, the first round – they have the same first name.
Right.
You know, even
they'll always be late.
When you looked at it in the lead up to that draft, I mean, Devin White ran a 4.42 and Devin Bush ran a 4.43.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
the verticals are the same and
everything was the same athletically there. Yeah. And some people liked one more than the other, and that's fine.
Sure.
That's going to happen. But, you know, I think, you know, in terms of the overall career path, there's a lot to like with both of those guys.
Absolutely. They both could go down linked for a long time. And
yeah,
be very,
this
very
could
good.
Be, we could be having this conversation 10 years from now, and it's the Polamalu Ed Reed, you know, conversation.
Sure. Same draft. I mean, same, like I said, same first name. And contrary to popular belief, and we didn't see this yesterday, Devin White still makes a lot of mistakes, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
he also happens to play with Lavonte David.
Yes, absolutely.
If you put Devin Bush next to Lavonte David, Devin Bush would look very, very good.
Very, as opposed to Robert Spillane.
Yeah.
Yes, it would.
That takes us back to, again, I think, you know, the things that we learned in that Super Bowl yesterday. We talked about it earlier in the show that, I don't know that you can be athletic enough in the middle of the field in today's NFL.
Second-level speed is huge, and defensive coordinators need it now. It used to be something you coveted and you wanted it, and now it's like, I need it.
I can't get by without it.
Mm-mm. And that doesn't mean there's a con. I mean, there's also people think just because you're an athlete, you're really good in coverage. You're not, but you can make up for mistakes. And even like Devin White, I mean, he gets exposed in coverage a fair amount now and will bite on some things, but he also make up for it. Like Shazier is a perfect example.
Right.
Like, you make up for some errors because you get there faster than everybody else.
That's how you get by early in your career. Mm-hmm. And then as you get into years 4 or 5, somewhere in that range, now all of a sudden you have a better understanding of what's going on around you out there.
Yep.
I mean, think about that. If the Steelers,
like a quarterback that can run.
If the Steelers had Shazier and Bush.
Oh, wow.
Now, maybe I don't know if they take them.
They wouldn't trade up.
Trade up to get Bush at that point, but maybe they do. You know, what if, you know, that opportunity presents itself and you have two of those guys now?
No, yeah. I mean it's certainly a nice situation.
Yeah.
Without question. And yes, kind of how you opened the show was watch David and White, just two of them flying around the ball, getting a lot of hats to the ball, and you're going to cause fumbles. You're going to, you know, there's a lot of good things are going to happen. And I think we'll see more of that from the Steelers next year.
I think it might be something that catches on around the league. I mean, there just aren't.
Yeah.
I can't think of another team that has that.
I can't think of it as two like that. You know, like Roquan Smith's coming on, Leonard's been really good. There was a stretch.
Maybe Dallas to a certain degree.
Van Der Esch and Jalen Smith.
But they can't stay on the field together.
They can't stay on the field. And I would take Bush over both those guys.
Yeah.
I know most people wouldn't, but I don't have a lot of trust in those two. But, no, there's a lot of teams that are slow there, and that's why all these receivers and tight ends are, you know, racking up a lot of, you know, fantasy points and production. And, you know.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. And, you know, you see different teams or teams addressing that differently in terms of, well, I can go get – a big safety and put him in that spot, and and that's fine, but it does make you susceptible to the run. That's why those guys are so valuable, because they're 235, 240-pound guys that can run.
Yeah, they can run and are smart and don't have to ever come off the field and aren't situational.
Those are the guys that 10 years ago used to be running backs.
But
you look at the running backs now coming into the league and they're all 205 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now those 230-pound guys they're just playing linebacker.
They're playing linebacker now, and running the same way, and is athletic, can change the direction, and playing with leverage.
You have a longer career.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. You don't get quite as beat up. I forget where I was going to go with that. But there are a good young group in the league. Roquan Smith's another one. I mean, there's some guys that
Fred
are
Warner,
interesting.
You know.
Yeah,
Fred Warner. Warner was a third-round pick. You can get those guys.
Yep, and take a little bit more development. I mean, Leonard was a two.
A two, yeah.
Right? You don't have to be in the top 10, but sometimes you got to trade up to get them, too.
Like, yeah.
I'm not besmudging.
It just depends on the draft.
In that
particular year, the Steelers had a need. They ran John Bostic out there the previous year, and that did not work.
I mean, they had a gaping hole that they had to fill, right.
So.
And it's filling nicely, I think. I mean, I have high hopes for Bush next year.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested to see him get back on the football field. And, again, ACL injuries aren't what they used to be.
In terms of,
it takes 2 years to come back from. Not so much anymore.
It's on Achilles. And it was pretty early in the year.
Yeah. So, but that's going to do it for our show today. So my partner, Matt Williamson, for Jacob here on site, we can also remind you that you can subscribe to our podcast here, wherever you download your podcast or listen to your podcast at.
Absolutely.
Please do that. You can also hear some, Wesley Euler and Arthur Motes. And of course, there's plenty of other good programming here on Steelers Nation Radio, different interviews, different things of that nature. You'll also hear our triple takes with Mike Prasuta on the network as well.
So yeah, they were fun last year.
Yeah, lots of good stuff there, lots of good back and forth. But that is going to do it for this show today. So I am Dale Lally. We thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.